Here's a leftover from last week's Derby Day. I love the Derby because it's the only sporting event where a bitter white supremacist will openly root for a black participant, a dark horse. Ironic that no one plays the race card in the only sporting event where every patron, upon entry, is handed a race card. Week's most flattering flattery comes from Kara Baldwin of Small Business Consultants in San Antonio, Texas. And here's what she said after reading How to Deal with the Stuff That Sucks. Happy to help spotlight Chris. He's insightful, fearless, and has one of the most brilliant, hilarious voices out there. My default reaction to praise that heady is to self-deprecate, to evade, to poo-poo. But if I keep hearing praise from that, from people with nothing to gain from their flattery, I may have to reassess the compliments. How will people react if I start introducing myself with, "Hello, I'm Chris Rodell, and I'm brilliant"? How will my family react? Time will tell. Thanks, Kara. I am Chris Rodell, and this is the Use All the Crayons podcast. Today we'll be dealing with Derby leftovers, how to make bad moods better, and what will our neighborhoods look like when we start breeding dinosaurs for fun and for food. First, this one's from 2012, when we were in the midst of a heated POTUS election between incumbent Barack Obama and challenger Mitt Romney. And can you believe that our presidential race once involved guys like Romney and Obama? My interest in the Olympics ratcheted up another notch this morning when I saw Ann Romney has a horse that's competing, and the horse appears to be gay. That's unfair, of course. I don't know if horses can be gay. For all I know, maybe horses are like the Chick-fil-A guy and have imposed laws preventing horses from becoming homosexual. Maybe they've elevated the prey, the gay thing away, although it's hard for me to imagine a horse seated with its hooves folded in horsey prayer. And I know it's being insensitive of me to judge anything simply by how it looks. But the horse is certainly flamboyant and behaves with a distinct equine counterpart to many of the exuberant gay people I wrote about on the day last month when my family and I wandered right into the middle of Pittsburgh's gay pride parade. And there's an old saying, if it walks like a gay duck and quacks like a gay duck, then chances are it's a gay duck. That seems to be the case with the horse that Romney's, for reasons I can't discern, named Rafalka. Their sons carry more conventional handles, like Matthew, Joshua, Benjamin, Craig, and a sort of screwy Taggart, who was clearly the family favorite, because Tag is always it. Why Rafalka? Couldn't find it anywhere. It's probably wishful thinking, but I hope some enterprising reporter enlivens the Olympics by revealing Rafalka means Obama's a Muslim in some exotic tongue. The 15-year-old German mare will compete at an event called Dressage. I'm eager to learn more, but from what I saw, I'm surprised the contestants don't wear frilly horse tutus. I'm not kidding. Dressage is in fact considered horse ballet, which may be why I thought the horse appeared to be gay. It pranced around, it flitted about, it preened. It behaved nothing like any of the horses I've seen in the John Wayne movies. It looked like the kind of horse who'd refuse a drink from a common trough and would instead sip from fine china teacups with a pinky up. I'll watch, sure, but horse ballet sounds to me like a waste of a good horse. I think big, strong animals should race to compete to see which one can pull carriages with the most beer. Now, monkey ballet, that sounds great. Just imagine those ratings. Learning about offbeat new sports is one of the things I love about the Olympics, and love them I do. I'll be glued to the set for tonight's opening ceremonies and will be an avid viewer throughout the games. I find it all so compelling. There's so much pageantry, drama by highly skilled competitors who've come from around the world. If it weren't for the endless hours of NBC promos, it would be humanity at its best. Seeing Ann and Mitt traipsing around London has been entertaining, too. He's looking like a gold shoe-in for the most gaffes. One London tabloid had the page one headline, "Mitt the Twit." I know we're not supposed to bash the Romneys for their wealth, their car elevators, and their Swiss bank accounts. That's the American way, right? We all want it, don't we? It's capitalism at its unchecked best, baby. But there's something jarring about a potential presidential candidate who co-owns a horse so refined it competes in a precious Olympic event few of us have even heard of, and comports itself in ways that make it seem too snobby to even pet or offer an apple. It's not bad when I have trouble relating to the Romneys. But I think it's going to be a problem when voters realize we can't even relate to their horse. I sometimes ask myself if I drink too much. I usually say no. I do this out loud and using two different voices, like I'm on stage. This is from 2015. And boy, have I been writing that blog a long time, huh? I'm convinced mankind will end world hunger when we begin to successfully breed dinosaurs. Do you have any idea how many quarter-pound dino burgers comprise a typical 7.5-ton Tyrannosaurus rex? I don't even know if the number bajillion is real, but it's bound to be something like a bajillion. And as you can tell, I'm excited about the Friday opening of Jurassic World. I wasn't a huge fan of the series, especially the weakling sequels, but I did enjoy the original and recently had fun showing Josie, 14, how it went down. Now she's really into it, so it should be a spectacular day at the movies. It had better be. The hype is huge, but Spielberg blockbusters aren't quite for sure the sure things they used to be. I enjoyed Lincoln, but understand why many did not. The reason why it shouldn't have been even called Lincoln, it should have been called Congress. It was too much about process and not enough about maybe our greatest American. It was committees, filibusters, and procedure. Know what would have made it more entertaining? A dinosaur. General Grant, President Lincoln, I have bad news. A. Lincoln, what is it? Our proud Union troops were on their way to victory at Gettysburg, then that accursed dinosaur came out of the peach orchard and ate General Meade and 200 of his men. Now Lee and the rebels are preparing a clam bake near Cape Cod. Lincoln, damn, I never thought Meade would have been all that tasty. Oh well, I need some escapist fare. Our American cousin is playing down at Ford's Theater. Do you happen to know how it scored on Rotten Tomatoes? I'm already monitoring Rotten Tomatoes to see how Jurassic Park is being reviewed. Nothing yet, but the movie doesn't top out at 90%, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm hoping it's a movie we can all enjoy, fun for the whole family. And I do hope the movie includes a snippet of some tailgaters barbecuing a dinosaur. Like beer can chicken. I'm serious about solving world hunger through safe and prudent dinosaur breeding. I would think just one Volkswagen-sized Sauropod egg would provide enough omelet ingredients to brunch all of Des Moines. What nights are popular taverns around the country? Wing nights are popular taverns around the country. Imagine the rush of diners who'd line up for pterodactyl wing night. These wings range from between 9 and 20 feet long. It'd be like me and the family heading down to the pond on Tuesday wing night and being served a choice meat canoe. I like to thank all the jobs created by the spin-off industries related to dinosaur farming. The first dinosaur butcher shop, and you'd have to spell it S-H-O-P-P-E to give it that old world flavor, would be the size of those 50-story vertical assembly buildings NASA used to construct the space shuttles. Like prudent butchers of things like beef and hog, no part of the beast would be wasted. The skin would be used for haute fashion accessories. Call it upscale. Innovative developers would begin offering trendy bone homes. What could go wrong? Well, being a fair-minded observer, let me tell you. First of all, anyone interested in breeding dinosaurs had better put a whole lot of thought into feeding dinosaurs. If a dinosaur stomach growls in Atlanta, you can pretty much bet they'll hear it in Macon. And when your typical dinosaur wants food, it wants it right away. It's not going to settle for another bowl of breadsticks. The other concern is that if we humans are going to eat dinosaur, we must be particular about what dinosaurs eat. You're going to have to feed something healthy, and there are only so many vegetarians in the world. Despite these problems, I remain convinced either way, breeding dinosaurs will eliminate hunger among humans. Introduce enough hungry dinosaurs into the world, and sooner or later, there won't be any more hungry humans. I I'm still looking for one of those several donors to put me up over the top on my GoFundMe page. Want to support me at this crucial time? Printing books is not cheap. Go to GoFundMe, Chris Rodell. It's your past. Make it as colorful as you wish. I say I put myself through college working as a male stripper. Another one from 2012. I was in a lousy mood Sunday. I'd allowed the whole blessing of dealing with my mother's dementia to feel momentarily burdensome. I was fatigued by persistent professional failings, and yeah, I once again had lost the stupid lawn mowing challenge. So I was in a bad mood. Then it got worse. What happened? My 16-year-old daughter asked, "So why are you in such a bad mood?" The nerve. Of course, her keen insight made me seethe and demolish what little chance there was of a happy family night. I sulked, slammed doors, felt sorry for myself, and generally behaved like adults stereotypically expect 16-year-old girls to behave. I spent a lot of time wondering why her accurate diagnosis lit my fuse. She wasn't being rude, but asking someone if they're in a bad mood is a sure way to put someone in a bad mood. Really, she should have offered a soulful solution, and that is sometimes we expect more from our children than we expect from ourselves is a topic for another day. "What you need to do next time you sense I'm in a bad mood," I said, "is offer an incentive to brighten my mood. You say, 'You seem like you're having a bad day. Is there anything I can do to cheer you up?'" There are thousands of ways a dear daughter can do for her father or can do it for a grumpy friend. She could have said, "I look like I've lost weight, slept well, and that my growing concerns about the need for hair plugs were unfounded." She could have said those things were bound to get better, and it was a nice day to get to golf or get next to... Let me start that again. She could have said things were bound to get better. It was a nice day to golf, or next year I'd certainly win the annual no-mow lawn contest. Any positive, even fibs, surpasses any negative. My wife is actually quite good at this, and without, I think, even being aware of it. She knows when I'm acting like an asshole, but never stoops to the gracelessness of saying, "Hey, asshole, you're harshing everyone's buzz. Snap out of it." I'll never forget the time we had a huge blow-up about something I can't remember. It's something I've long since forgotten. But I do recall one memorable fact. I was leaving for work. Yeah, it was one of the 8 days in 2014 that I'd been summoned to attend bar at the Old Pond. So there are elements of this story akin to observing a solar eclipse from the back of a unicorn. My Saturday shift had yet to begin, and I was having a drink at the bar, understanding as I did the necessity of being liquored up before I began liquoring up friends and strangers. When I saw her come through the door, I tensed up, believing she was eager to resuscitate the hostilities in public. That was not her intention. She smiled, sat next to me, and asked Dave for a Yingling. Her smile conveyed everything was going to be all right, and in an instant it reminded me why I fell in love with her in the first place. She took a sad song and made it better. We could learn a lot from Val. These are contentious times. It's easy to get down and to let the news sour your disposition. To fall into a mood so bad it practically gives off stink lines. You know someone who right now is in a bad mood and have the power to do something positive about it. What are you waiting for? Changing the world is a daunting task. Start by changing one mood at a time. And thank you for reading. I must say, you look wonderful. Have you lost weight? How sizable would the yard sale be if you had access to all the stuff enemies throughout your life told you to shove up your ass?